Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Bubba the Love Sponge Show. Today we got a guest, which we'll have Rhett bring in here momentarily. His name is Ken Cage, and he was formerly from, I don't think they've had, I think they had like 3 years of episodes on the Airplane Repo. It was on Discovery. And I think Ken was with them all 3 years.
Yeah, it looks like 2013, 14, and 15.
Right. Now, I don't even know what he's doing nowadays. I'm sure that's some of the things that, you know, Ken might be talking to us about today as to what's going on in Ken Cage's life. And then, like, is he still repoing planes, you think?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, maybe wonder where that's why he's in town.
Maybe he's got a guy that's behind on his G5.
I noticed Travolta flew his Falcon 900 into St. Pete yesterday. Maybe he's going to get that.
Oh yeah, maybe Travolta's on his what now? What type does John have?
The one he flew in yesterday was a Falcon 900.
I wonder if Ken making his way to the studio.
Well, Rhett might have had to make a bathroom break.
Jesus.
Yeah, he had to poop.
I'm gonna kick Rhett's ass.
I think he's with he's with somebody. I was just gonna put them on the couch.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, let me.
Make sure you show him the mic deal, too.
Yeah. Now, are we going to put the guest on the wireless deal, or is the guest on...
Ken, I think Ken is going to go on Dan's.
Put Ken in three.
Yes.
And then put the handler or his... Maybe that's his buddy or his business partner or something. Ken can tell us here momentarily once he gets situated here.
Let me.
He's doing his
job. Lemmy's doing his job.
Okay.
Lemmy's a handler that he is.
Oh, it's... Will you fix that for him?
Now, are we going to put Ken, who's your guest with you today?
That is my son and protege, David.
Is he a pilot?
No.
Well, then he can't be your protege.
He's got to do the repos. He's my future repo man.
I know, but he's not a pilot.
Not yet. Neither am I.
You're not a pilot?
Nope.
Lemmy, help him with the headphone.
Nope, that's...
Jesus, Lemmy, stupid. Lemmy, you're stupid.
I have both headphones ready to go.
So hold on, Ken. You're not. Well, how can you fly planes if you're not a pilot?
I don't fly them. I hire pilots to do it. And to be honest with you, as a businessman, it makes a lot more sense. I make a couple hundred dollars on every flight with them doing it. If I did it myself, I'd have to pay for the insurance and the licensing and all that, so I would lose money.
So you're the broker, kind of, so to speak.
I hire ferry pilots to move the airplanes.
You're like the plane bounty hunter.
Yeah, I repo them.
Oh. You don't have to be the guy that flies them. You have to be the guy that tracks them down, find out who's behind on the payments.
Yes.
And then, you know. Now, so do you work mostly with, like, the banks? Like, do the banks call you up, Ken, and be like, Ken, this guy's, you know, 8 months behind on his yacht?
Yes. It's banks, and there's also a lot of attorneys we deal with.
Oh, attorneys are the worst. I mean, like, probably you deal with attorneys more than the banks, because when a guy's behind... You know, like on his G5, that's just not like $1,800 or something. That's a lot of money.
That is a huge amount of money. It's those things go a couple hundred thousand a month.
Now, do you get a percentage of what? Do you just get a flat fee? Be like, listen, yachts are 3,000 and planes are 2,000 and this and that. Or do you get like a percentage of what they're behind? Like, how does your, like, if it's not too personal of a question, like, do you have a flat fee for the deal?
So we charge a flat fee for the repos, and then we're also licensed brokers, so we sell them, and that's where we get the commission.
Oh, so hold on. You'll repo it, and yes. Then you get a chance to sell the yacht or the plane or whatever?
Yes.
So part of the repo process is the fact that they list it with you?
Yes. It's a lot cheaper for the bank to
do
all
in one. Well, that's where you make all the money, Ken.
Yes, that's it.
Screw the, you know, now how much do you got to pay these ferry pilots, so to speak?
It depends, obviously, on the type of airplane. A Cessna 172 single-engine airplane is a couple hundred bucks.
Which I could fly, by the way.
Can you?
Well, I got 600. I'm not a pilot. I'm not a pilot, but I used to have a Cessna 414.
Nice.
Physically, you can fly it. Legally, you can't fly
it. Yeah, legally. But, I mean, that's most of us. We physically can do a lot, but legally, we probably aren't supposed to.
Right.
I got 600 hours on a – I have 600 right seat hours on a Cessna 414 when I owned it for, let's tell me, 5-6 years?
At least, yeah.
And my pilot was an instructor, a twin-engine instructor, so every time we flew – you know, I would literally, you know, I went from, you know, the first time I flew, not doing anything to by the time that I was done, I sold my plane, like 650 some hours later, I was doing it all.
So he could have signed you off or, you know, taken the test and signed you off pretty easily with that many hours.
Probably. But I mean, I did everything. I did everything. A lot of times he'd sleep and I'd do all the radio calls. You know, I would do it all.
Yo, Cessna coming into land.
Coming in hot, TPA. I don't know what runway I'm going, but it looks clear to me right now. Man, I got to tell you, Ken, they don't take kindly when you make mistakes up there, air traffic control.
No, they'll eat you alive.
One time we were coming into to Fort Myers, and we were squawking a certain frequency, and I just brain farted and hit back to the 1200 position, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, Cessna, November 140. Kind of like, why are you squawking 1200? And the pilot didn't know that I did it. I thought maybe I could do it, and he not really, because the squawk box was over on my side, like, of the plane.
Yep. This thing is cool. I'm just going to mess with it.
That's pretty much how it was. And so I hit it, blitz, and it put it back to 1200. And they're like,
yeah, VFR, yeah.
Why are you? And then they're like, so he had to go to the, he had to call the tower afterwards and explain to him. It was just a power glitch is what he said. We had a power glitch. And they believed it.
I love those 414s, by the way. They're beautiful airplanes.
What are they going for nowadays? I mean, because you're all about brokering. Like, what are they going for nowadays? A clean one. Like, a clean one with, say, let's say, 8,600, you know, hours.
And what year are we looking at?
Mine was an 83, I think.
So that would still be six figures easy.
Oh, fuck. I think I paid, like, 460 for mine.
It had the RAM upgrades and stuff.
Yeah, I had, see, that's big.
I had the RAM upgrades and all new. No, I put new upholstery in it.
New upholstery, the avionics, the updated avionics.
Updated avionics, not glass though. We didn't have. Well, we
not
had a
full
little
glass. It
had
was
a
some.
Little bit of glass, but those are what? Those are probably what? Still $400,000 planes
all day long. They're warriors. Man, they work so hard, and they're just great airplanes.
I will tell you this: they're fucking pigs compared to like a. Like, what was a Pilatus?
Well,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Compared to a turboprop, of course.
Oh. See, the 414, Ken, it would only go, I mean, like 210, 212, you know.
It's pressurized.
Yeah. But it's just, you wanted to go, you know, like there's some props. What are the, they got, like, does that, the Mahonies or the Moonies or something like that?
The Moonies are fast.
They're fast.
For singles, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. We repealed a Mooney Super Eagle in Michigan, and my pilots were generally from Embry-Riddle in Daytona. The guy's like, this is a super, you know, this is a longer airplane. The guy's like, yeah, I'm a commercial pilot. I can handle this. And he's like really talking down to my pilot, so my pilot just cussed him out. Like, dude, I know what I'm doing. Mm. You know what I mean? It just so little respect because he was 23 years old, but he had more hours in the air than he had in a car.
Yeah,
And he was
now. Do you
fanatic.
Send two guys usually or one
for pilot? It depends. Single engine, I'll just send one.
Yeah, like a 172, man.
Yeah,
you know, hell, you can almost send half a guy to get that.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you literally. My buddy had a 172, and those things are so with those top big pillow top top wings. They are just so forgiving. Right. I mean, you really got to be an idiot to hit to crash or weather conditions.
When you go to rebuild a plane, like, do you actually go and do all the paperwork and get it done, and then the pilot just comes in just to fly it, or is he involved in like the repo process at all?
So, as it depends on the pilot. There was a couple that I mentioned from Embry-Riddle. I would take them with me so they could just hop in the plane and go, and they were okay with being around. The first couple.
Now, do you go with a lot sometimes?
Oh yeah.
I mean, because. Well, because at the end of the day, you kind of got to go because you're the business end of it, right?
Right. I have to be there on the repo. I have to do the repos because I have the license in the
okay.
state.
Now, how many of the repos go good where the owner's like, hey, you know, hey, listen, buddy, I know I'm behind. Hey, Ken, I'm going to work with you here. Just here, take it. I know that I'm behind. I've already talked to the bank.
I'm only missing one engine.
Yeah. Or how many are there saying, goddamn, you're going to take my plane or my boat? Or I mean, how many of them are adversarial and how many of them are like, okay, buddy?
So at least half of them are the owner's not even there.
Right. You come in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Jumps. And now, how do you have keys made already?
I have this set of keys that you would be impressed with. Yeah, we've got, because over the years, we've repoed so many different types of airplanes, and we've just copied keys for different airplanes. And you know, as a pilot, that
you're not supposed to copy those.
Well,
those,
they're
those.
Pretty universal.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the thing. Like my mailbox key, when I had an apartment in Orlando, my mailbox key would open half of the 172s.
Right. So, and it's like construction guys when they are on the construction site. They have these big heavy equipment operators. They over the years have a John Deere key, three or four different Cat keys, three. You know, so
they start just about everything.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what we have. We have. I mean, our ring is probably 40 or 50 keys, but it's enough to get us into everything. And honestly,
and you know what you're going to before you go.
We do.
So if you don't have one, you can obviously have some downtime. Be like, who's got the Falcon 50 key?
Yeah, well,
you know, right?
That's the thing. And honestly, my son Dave is over here. He's actually learned how to pick locks for us. So,
does he have a microphone? Did we give Dave a microphone?
No, he's the quiet,
smart
kid in the corner.
And he's now picking locks.
Yeah, he actually started doing it when he was like 11 years old because I have a pick set. We're allowed to pick the locks to the airplanes. We're just not allowed to pick a lock to get into a hangar or a house or anything like that.
It's on the handheld.
Okay. And what's your son's name again?
It's David.
Hi, David. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. How old are you?
20 years old.
20 years old. Now, Ken, where are you guys from?
We're from Philadelphia.
You're from Philly?
Yes, sir.
I was in radio for about 9 months in Philly at Q102 back in 1990.
Wow.
Lived off of City Line Avenue.
That's the best.
Right near St. Joe's University.
Yep, that's exactly it. Most of the radio stations are there now.
Bala Kenwood?
Yep.
Bala Kenwood off City Line Avenue.
Yep, and now there's Manayunk. Did you ever go to Manayunk when you were there?
No.
See, they built that up, and it's probably 5 minutes from the stations, and it's really cool now.
You do a lot of Philly radio?
I've done a lot on... You guys don't compete up there, right?
No, fuck no.
So I can say.
Yeah, Q102 or WYSP. Or...
So YSP is a sports station now.
Right. That's where Howard was back in the day, I think.
He was, yep, and Opie and Anthony in the afternoon.
Right. Man, what a hell of a lineup.
Right. I've done the Opie, done a lot of stuff with Opie, but I do MMR frequently, and that's number one up there now.
Wasn't that with DiBella back in the day?
Yes. Now he's on 102.9.
He's still on radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he killing it? Is he doing okay?
He's still on, so he must be doing well.
Remember when Howard beat him?
Oh, my gosh.
And then they did the funeral, but then he had DiBella's ex-wife on and trying to get her a date with a lesbian.
I don't remember the date part, but I definitely remember the funeral.
Oh, I was at the funeral.
Were you really?
I was there. I worked for Q102. I did afternoon drive, and Howard was, this is unheard of, they sent me to go cover the Howard Stern funeral. It was such an event. I asked my boss, I'm like, well, they're the competition. He's like, yeah, man, but, you know, he's fucking God, so you gotta go and do it. And it was on the courthouse steps, or it was somewhere downtown, if I remember. No, it was actually the funeral was right underneath DiBella's window, his studio window.
And that was in the old city back then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Near Independence Hall and things like that.
Yes, and that was like 1990. Oh, man.
I remember.
And Howard came in, whipped his ass, and then DiBella would never recognize Howard. And then after Howard finally whipped his ass, I think DiBella, something.
Yeah.
Recognized him or something. But Howard, Philly was his best market for years.
He's a Philly kind of guy. When he was terrestrial, he was definitely a Philly.
Is that
kind
how
of
you
guy.
Know our friend Tim? Because Tim's a Philly guy. Tim Sabian?
Yes. I met him actually through Opie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Tim.
Opie was doing Sirius.
Right, man. I wish we were all back there. Had a great time over there. Have you talked to Opie? We had Opie on the show. Blitz, when did we have Opie on?
It's been a while now, but
I need to have him back on.
It was about 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah,
two.
You still talk to Opie?
Through social media. I haven't talked to him in a while. I mean, the pandemic just crushed everything for.
And Opie was all freaked out about it.
Yeah,
like he, you know, Anthony wasn't too freaked out about it. He was still, but Opie was freaked the fuck out about it.
Yeah, he started doing a lot of beach podcasts and things.
Yeah,
like that.
He's like recently just came back to the city.
I think Opie made a ton of money and did really good with his money. That I don't think. I mean, I think that he didn't really need to.
Well, that's good for him. It's funny because when I started the repo thing, I never thought of doing radio or television or anything. And then it just kind of happened with the crash of the economy in 2008 and 2009. And then I got on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and obviously all hell broke loose then.
Mm-hmm. What did now? Were you did you start out the repo business in Philly, just like cars and standard stuff like that?
No, I bought a business that was already they were shutting down, so we kind of bought some of the assets we needed to start up here in Orlando. Because Florida, you have to have a Florida repo license if you want to be an international company.
The, now, do you live in Orlando now?
I have a place in Orlando, and Philly's still home.
Yeah, Philly sucks.
So we talked about it. Yeah. We talked about it yesterday. So just a quick question: Pat's or Geno's?
Neither.
That's what everyone
you
says.
You motherfucker! That's exactly what the guy from Philly.
And I knew you would too, but I had to ask. I had
you
to
know
ask
what?
It that way.
A true Philadelphian, a true guy from Philly, answers the way you did because we had a guy yesterday named Brian, and he calls from Philly, and we always ask people from Philly, and you're really not a Philadelphia dude if you pick one of the two,
right?
Because they're just tourist traps.
It's funny because David's a huge cheesesteak fan, so we went up there one time. I'm like, fine, we'll go to Pat's, we'll go to Geno's. It's like horse meat. It's terrible.
And Brian from Philly Guy listens to the show. It's like it's literally a tourist trap.
Yep.
If you want a good cheesesteak, chances are that little sandwich vendor across the way or that little mom and pop shop's got the Philly cheesesteak, the way that it's really supposed to be.
Yeah, I think it's at Jim's too. Jim's is a big one.
Is it a place called Jim's?
Jim's is decent. So since you were in Philly, you've heard of Delco.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where we're from is Delco. Delco is short for Delaware County, and we've got a chip on our shoulder.
So there's actually a very somewhat famous cheesesteak place in Dunedin, which is close to here, and it's called Delco's.
Yep. And they're expanding up in Delco too, but the best one of ours and my father-in-law's best friend owned the company for years is called Phil and Jim's, and they just won best cheesesteak in the world.
Really?
On planet Earth. And they're right in Delaware County at a small town called Parkside. And we joke it's called Parkside because it's so small. If you don't park on the side, you're going to miss it. It's like three cheesesteak places. Las Patas is one of them, and they're down here too, right?
Yeah. Las Patas. Yeah, Las Patas, yeah.
They're across the street from Phil and Jim's. But Phil and Jim's, dude, you have that. It's a religious experience.
I had the worst time in Philly, I'm going to be honest with you. It was the worst time of my life. Just because I'm some, white boy from Indiana. And, the chicks there, they're just, they got, a brother named Salvatore or Antonio or something like that. And so you go to pick them up. And this was, in 90, okay?
Yep.
And, their hair, it's like they got 5 gallons of white rain
on
their hair.
What year was this as well?
90.
Okay, yeah. So,
and I don't know if things have changed, but they just got real sassy and they don't want to give you any ass and they just want you to spend a bunch of money on them. And chicks from Philly are grizzled, I should say.
You have to get out of the city a little bit.
Yeah, you do. You got to get in the Delco area,
Yeah, the Delco girls are friendlier.
Now, what suburb was kind of – I lived right at the corner of City Line and St. Joe. Right there it's like a condo / high-rise 15, 18, 16-story apartment building right by, the train station. But if you kept going on City Line Avenue, out to there was a kind of an affluent neighborhood out there.
You're getting to Haverford, and then to the right, Lancaster Avenue. You're getting towards Radnor. Those are old money.
Yeah,
towns.
Yeah.
But Haverford is the first one on City.
I would ride my motorcycle out there, and it was beautiful. It was such a distinct difference. You were almost in a really rich, almost country setting kind of deal.
Yeah, that's. Haverford is basically the first town as you're leaving City Line, and then it becomes Township Line. And that's the breaking point between the city and the town.
What's the most, where do the guy that owns the Phillies, the guy that owns the Eagles, where do those people live?
Well, a lot of them live in Jersey because it's so much cheaper there. But Radnor, I'm trying to think of some of the other places around there, but it's like Kobe Bryant grew up in Lower Merion. His dad was a 76er. There are actually quite a few Phillies that live in and around Media, where we are in Delaware County. But that Radnor is, I think, the wealthiest area, because Radnor is part of Villanova, which everybody knows.
Right.
They have tons of money. That's about the wealthiest area.
When I went there, I had a guy named Mark Driscoll, and he ran Q102, and I got hired in March 1st of 90, and I couldn't start till April 1st because I had to go live at Corman Suites or Corman Squares or something downtown, and I had to go to Philadelphia boot camp. And I had to learn things like Conshohocken and Schuylkill Hill. And he made me like every day for five, for like 20 days, like for 4 weeks, 5 days a week. We had like how to, so that all the new radio personalities, he brought three of us in. And I was from Chicago, and the other guy was from somewhere, and the girl was from somewhere, and made us learn the city. And it was the only time in radio that I had to do that. But it was very effective because you really kind of sounded like you knew what you're saying. Because nobody can say Schuylkill Hill the very first time, or no. Conshohocken.
Those are weird names, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
And then ask a Philadelphian to spell Schuylkill, and most of them can't.
No, they can't.
It's not even. It makes no sense.
No, it's a very. I don't know. It's a very unique city, Philadelphia. I was miserable there.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I always kind of say it's because we live in the shadow of New York, and we're like New York's little brother, and we're always taking crap from New York, so we have that.
The
hard exterior, the edge, the chip on her shoulder. And it's funny because the last season we did Airplane Repo, the film crew came out to my town. And the week before, they're like, what can we expect out there? I said, well, one of two things are going to happen, and maybe both. You might get invited over to somebody's house for dinner because they're friendly. Mm-hmm. But they also might get in a fight with you before and after.
They may stab you on the front porch.
Right. But you'll get a good pasta dish out of it.
Or the Uncle Salvatore, you know, you might steal your car while you're at dinner or something like that.
Yeah, his IROC's getting a little old.
His IROC-Z. His IROC-Z.
You know that's what they were driving.
Oh,
too.
They were. Hell yeah. So, like, with regards to Airplane Repo, I think it was on for three seasons on Discovery.
Yep.
And did they contact you, you know, because you had this big repo business or, you know, or did you pitch it to them? And I don't even think, like, I'm dealing with some television stuff right now on a documentary, but the television business is ruthless, and as you probably know. And so how did that all go down?
Yeah, it's funny. And as far as the TV business, I think they just have too many people that don't have a clue what they're doing in business, especially. It makes sense financially, and they just don't do it. I look at what they did with Conan
O'Brien. And they overthink it.
Too much, right? So the way it started for me was I was – front page of the Wall Street Journal, and literally the day it came out, I heard from over 200 TV
crews. Now, what was the front page in the Wall Street Journal? What was that about?
About the repo business. I had a guy who's now on CNBC. His name's Robert Frank. He was a great writer for the journal. He contacted me and said, hey, I want to do a ride-along. So we took him to a couple repos, one in Sanford. We picked up a jet there, and then we took him to get a boat. I think it was on the river, St. John's River somewhere. But so he was with us for a couple days. He did a front page article. It was really... I mean, it was a great article.
Kind of like embedded himself into the repo world kind of deal.
And it was
now, when did you first take over this repo business? And was it originally based out of Orlando, like you said?
Yeah, it was based in Orlando. We took it over in November of 2005.
Here's your front page right here.
It's a nice looking jet, isn't it?
That is nice. Well, don't even tell me. Is that a CJ?
No, it's a Gulfstream.
Oh, that's like a G5?
It's a 150, I think it is, if I got that right.
What's that thing? What?
Oh, that was a year old. And that thing was going for like $13
million. Oh.
What's that thing go new for?
Probably about 15 or 16 at that time.
Oh, so the buyer didn't really get that big of a break on it.
No, and that's the thing. Everybody thinks they're going to get it for pennies on the dollar. And that's, you know, they'll tell us, well, no, it doesn't work that way. We have a bid process where we're interacting with all the bidders at one time. And we're able to drive the prices up pretty good.
What's that, controller.com, where one of the websites that sell planes, I think it's controller.com.
Yeah, and controller is great. And the thing is, we had the DOJ contracts, one for the boats and one for airplanes to do all their seizures. No companies.
Oh, that's so cool.
No companies ever had them both, and we had them both at the same time, and we had them both extended 2 years beyond the end of the contract. But
so with this particular plane, this was just the plane that the journalist watch you guys get. This wasn't plane number one. What was plane number one you got?
Sorry, it might have been a 414.
Really?
I think so. And then we got a big hog on the St. John's River.
What do you prefer, boats or planes? Probably planes, because you can get the hell out of there.
Well, I love airplanes. They're just so much fun.
Boy, and when you get bit, now you don't do you have an airplane, your own plane?
No.
But when you get bit by the aviation bug, it is just, oh. And then you constantly, I had this 414, but, you know, we'd pull up to the FBO and I was like, man, my plane sucks compared to that plane. Then you start getting aviation, envy, where the guy that pulls up in a, you know, in a CJ or a Hawker or a Falcon, and then you look like a complete fucking idiot in your 414.
And we love when people think like that, because then they overextend and get an airplane they can't afford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I sold
later,
mine before I got it taken away.
Good for
What's
you.
The biggest or most expensive plane you've repoed?
I picked up, they were actually three, from one case, I picked up three 727s.
Was it John Travolta's?
No. It actually was an airline, a small little regional airline. We
Hooters Air?
Three.
Hooters Air?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Hooters Air failed miserably.
Yeah.
I don't know what planes they had, but so this little private, you know, this little airplane company, they got three 727s. What's the price on those things?
They went for about 20 mil each.
Privately?
Yeah, we turned them around.
Now, were they configured to be a passenger, or were they configured to be, you know, private?
They were for commercial.
All right, so you had to gut them. You know, whoever bought them probably had to gut them and make them.
Or they wanted to start up their own, you know, or they had a small regional airline. You know, I'm not sure exactly what they did with it. I just know they paid, and that made me very happy.
So Ken, what happens on when, like in this particular guy, when this guy embedded himself in to take this Gulfstream? Did you guys get this adversarially, or was the guy cool?
We actually got the airplane was really close to being a huge problem, because the FBO was giving us just the hardest time. So I kept a journalist with me, and we kind of distracted the people that wouldn't let us out. And the pilot, because he knew the area really well and he was connected, he was able to get onto the field separately, and they didn't know he was with us.
Yeah, but how do you, if a plane like this is hangared, okay, and, you know, the guys, the bank or whoever's telling you, hey, Ken, you know, you got full authorization to take this thing, and I'm thinking legally at that point, you have to have, like, some type of paperwork that says that you are whomever, the lien holder or whoever,
yep.
The paper has given you permission to take this thing back.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you got to show the FBO that, because you just can't walk up, cut the lock to the hangar, and go find that plane, fire it up, unchalk it, and then you just can't. I don't think you can.
You can't do. You can't break into a hangar.
Right. You can't break into the airfield.
Correct. And it's interesting because, you know, there were three separate stories on airplane repo. I had one of the three, and the other guy would show himself jumping over fences. I'm like, oh no, never did we do that. We'd go through the front door. You have to. To your point.
Well, especially in a airspace federally. I mean, they could shoot you. If you're jumping the fence of an airport,
yes,
that's pretty. They take that pretty seriously nowadays, post 9/11.
Yeah, and so it's funny you mentioned that. One of my favorite stories is it was beginning of 2006. I was going to Stuart, Florida, and just getting a POS airplane. It was garbage, right? But I had to get the repo for the bank, and we went right as the FBO closed. On the field, we flew in, so no problem there. Walking around the airplane, security sees me. Doesn't say a word.
Now, was the plane hangered or is it outside?
It was outside.
Right.
Because it was, like I said, it was crap.
And most guys that are behind on payments usually are behind on hangar fees too, right?
Yes, and
so,
maintenance.
So they, oh, yeah, so you didn't have his yearly,
didn't have
all of that.
Right, so I knew we weren't going to fly.
Oh, so at that point, if you're going to go into repo something, the guy hasn't had, you know, his yearly, you don't know how airworthy that thing is.
Correct.
So you probably can't put it up in the air, can you?
That's right. We usually try and taxi it to the other side, to another FBO that... You know how they work together, like the Hatfields and McCoys in
right.
The airfield.
You take it to Hangar One, and then you tell Hangar Two, "Hey, can you guys do an annual on this thing for me?" Because Hangar One guys won't do it. And the Hangar Two guys are like, "Yeah, fuck those guys, we'll do it for you."
Heartbeat,
right?
I can screw them and get paid. Yes,
yeah, exactly.
All in. So at Stewart, you know, the security guy saw us walk by. I thought, okay, we're cool. I had the pilots who flew me down. We were just going to fly back. Turns out he called the cops, right? So we're sitting there looking at the airplane and getting an idea, and we hear the sirens. We're like, what the hell's going on? And it's getting closer and closer. I'm like, something's really not right. All of a sudden, there were 13 cop cars that come flying through the gate. Ooh. 20 cops jump out, guns aimed right at me.
We got us a couple plane thieves here. Let's get these motherfuckers.
Right, and that was, to your point, after 9/11,
right.
You try and get on an airfield.
Oh, yeah.
We had 20 cops. So I showed them the paperwork, and I had already called it into the police, so I had a case number. And then I'm like, you know, at the end, I'm like, why did you send 20 officers?
Weren't they able to look at, why, as the call got through, weren't they able to say, somebody step in and say, yeah, we've spoke to that guy, he's there, He's got the paperwork. We know the number. He's there to. Wouldn't you think they communicate a little bit better than that?
Yeah,
it was probably the most exciting thing that had happened in that bullshit little city. So they wanted to go out there.
What was their answer as to why they sent so many?
Well, they said there would have been 28, but 8 got stuck behind the train in town.
Yeah, we had all points bulletin on you. Yeah. We know how you motherfuckers from Philadelphia roll.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You don't like Pat's or Gino's cheesesteaks. You're down. But yeah, they were sending 28. It had to be just like an overlap. The timing just had to be
so like on this. Perfect for back that to time. This on this plane. So you get there. This you got your journalist with you.
Yep.
This plane's in the hangar.
No, it was on the field. They were getting ready to leave.
Oh, this plane's on the field.
Yeah.
You mean the owners were getting ready to leave?
Yeah, he was, and he was.
Now, how does that? Now, Ken, how does that go when you know Johnny, Gulfstream owner, has his family? They're getting ready to go to the bar, Turks Caicos, and you got to come give them the good news that the trip's canceled.
Honestly, I do it quick and painful, like the band-aid, just quick as you can. But
was he actually on the plane?
No, he wasn't there. He was on his way. So the airport. Prepared the airplane for them. They even put snacks and drinks on the airplane.
A lot of those planes, they get them plugged in, get the air going for you.
Yes.
What that's called, an FB? I forget what that's called. When they're plugged in.
The APU?
APU. They got you plugged
in. Or the GPU, I guess it would be on the ground.
The GPU, and they got the air nice for you. It's all nice, right?
And it was warmed up. That part of it was better. But we also knew that the owner was on his way, and he was like this 6'6" character with a nice long record of violence and drugs and all this stuff. So we knew we had to get out of there quick.
Now, was it your understanding, I'm going to try to get out of here before he even gets to the airfield, or are we going to try to talk to him and explain?
We were out of there as quick as we could get out of there.
Right.
I don't want to see that guy at all, because who knows what he's going to do.
And how uncool is that if you're Johnny 6'6", and you pull up and be like, where's my plane? Well, this motherfucking gray dude from Philadelphia came and took it, had the paperwork and everything.
Yeah.
That's basically how it went down. And of course, he calls the bank and complains, and we don't care about that.
How far late was that guy?
He was like 95 days.
When does the bank start getting concerned? This would be good for me to know. If I ever buy another plane and I'm a few months behind, like Ken, when do they start getting 90 days?
So I used to work at Chrysler Financial calling on past due loans. So I can tell you, at 14 days past due, they start calling you.
14?
Yeah. Now, that's not a repo situation, but they'll start the automatic calls. And at 31 days past due, that's when they start getting serious. 46 is the number that freaks them out, because there's,
When do they call Ken?
It used to be 60 to 65 days, but when the economy went bad, which it did at this time, and that's when it happened in 2010, it was like 95 days. So they had that was 4 payments that was due on a $13 million.
What was this guy's payment? Do you know those details?
It was somewhere like 15,000 or 18,000 a month. So he was getting close to 80,000 behind with fees.
And late fees and all that kind of shit.
And he also owed the airport like 6 months hangar rent, which we paid. And I said,
now, do you
got
to pay that to get it out?
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of times if it's hangar, they'll be like, well, I'm glad you got the paperwork, but he's 6 months behind on hangar fee, buddy.
Yeah.
Clear that up and it's yours.
Yeah, and that's what we do.
Makes it easy.
It does. And the bank always is supportive of that, because you don't want like all these people getting hurt by it. So you pay the hangar fees, and if the guy tries to get his airplane back, guess what? Those fees are added on.
Right.
So he has to pay the hangar
fees. What's the percentage, Ken, of guys that try to get their shit back?
It's somewhere around 30-40%.
Okay.
That actually happened to me yesterday. I was driving.
Are you midair and you get a call from the bank? Be like, Ken, go ahead and turn that thing around. Homeboy gave us wired us some money.
Thank God we don't do it that way. It was, we were going for a boat, and that's why I actually came down and was planning on trying to get a boat. And we're on the way driving there to get the boat, and all of a sudden the bank calls and says, hey, it's off. He paid. I'm like, son of a So we got a plane on
now
Monday.
do you get anything for that? Like, if you're already on your way down, you already spent money to get here, like, do you just lose out? Or
we get paid all of our fees.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we make a couple
little.
$100.
At least you're not out, though.
No, we're definitely not out.
Okay.
And plus, it's a pretty cool, like, you're not out digging a ditch 9 to 5. Like, I mean, it's kind of an adventurous, cool deal. I mean, maybe the business aspect of talking to the bankers and all that kind of shit, but the actual repoing is kind of cool, isn't it?
It's fun because it's just so different all the time.
You've been shot at?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, a few times.
What's more dangerous, the boats or the planes?
The boats.
Because because it's easier for someone to like stay on the boat.
Well, because usually it's behind their house. That's right, Ken?
Down here in Florida, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And, we deal with more business people. So we did a piece on CBS Sunday Evening News after this journal article. And we're going to take a boat in Cape Canaveral, Florida. Mm-hmm. And the guy used it. He got laid off from, had no work. He was a contractor. He got laid off. His business was shut down. All he had left was to charter the boat and take people fishing. And now we're taking the boat. So he was...
happy. Yeah, his only way to make money.
And that's the thing with boats more than airplanes. A lot of the boats, are for pleasure only.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of people that use the boats for money.
Yep.
Airplanes, there's been a couple airplanes.
You got to get a Part 35, and that's a pain in the ass. And right. The insurance.
It's really hard to fish from an airplane.
Yeah.
It is.
More people, you can get more people to want to charter a boat than you can an airplane.
For sure.
Right.
Easily.
So now, a guy can have a 45 open fish and just fucking kill it on charters.
Right.
Right?
Yes. And that's what he was.
He was killing on charters, but he wasn't sending the payments in.
That's it. Because he was behind on the house. He was behind on electric and food and, kids' doctor bills or whatever, on life. That's why I hated working at Chrysler because, taking a minivan is. That's personal.
Well, working at Chrysler, too. Please. Well,
that was actually the height of Chrysler when we were there.
Was Lee Iacocca over there?
No, but they had just merged with Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, okay.
So it was at the
height. It's kind of
like
Daimler-Chrysler.
Yes, Daimler-Chrysler. That's right.
Out of Detroit, or were you still in Philly?
I was in Philly, but I did a lot of stuff in Southfield and Farmington Hills, Michigan.
Oh,
Was it all in the credit aspect of it, the finance?
Yes. Yeah, we're Chrysler Financial.
Were you the bird dog were you the guy trying to get the 14-day overdue? Was that what you were doing?
You weren't
doing oil changes.
No, gosh, no. We were doing the banking side. I was in the high-risk collection side, so we were 46 days past due or more, and then we were calling the repo guys to go pick them up.
On an unrelated note, all the car dealerships, like from Ford to Chevy to Cadillac to whatever, they make all their money on the financing. I mean, they'll give you the damn car for damn.
Especially now.
Yes. Maybe even less what they paid for it, but it's those points on the backside with the bank, isn't it, Ken?
It is. That's what it is. And that's why we have to collect, because it kills us. But the problem is the bigger dealerships get too many breaks from the finance guys,
mm-hmm.
because we want to sell these loans, right? So, there's this one huge one in Oklahoma. They're, all their applications came in with a name. No social, no address, nothing. So we're doing skip tracing, trying to figure out where all these first payment defaults are from the same dealerships. Like, son of a bitch. So they give them too much leeway because they want to sell the loan so bad. Obviously, the dealer wants to do the same. So
if you go and buy a new F-150 and your rate, I don't even know what a car rate is now. Five.
More than that.
It's got to be more now. The
7-8
jumping. Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
But what is who's buying it for what? Who's paying three and who's making the three on the backs? How does that all go, Ken?
Honestly, I don't know how the split goes with the dealership. It varies based on the size of the dealership.
Right, but maybe typically.
I think the finance company, if the loan goes through clean for 3 to 5 years, they make at that time they were making 3%.
Wow.
The finance company, so the dealership would get, if it was a 4% loan or a 6% loan, they would get the overage.
And does the finance company just cut that check to the dealership?
I think so. Yeah. We have dealer relationship managers where we had them at the time. So they would deal directly with all the dealerships and the DRMs, those managers were they were gods in the finance side because they were dealing directly with. So not only do they take them to the Rays games and the Lightning games. And
oh, they take them anywhere they want.
Anywhere they want.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also get to give them the happy news of the checks and all the parties. And it's like, how do I get that job? And they're like, you don't.
You know.
I got to buy a company then.
Just repo this fucking boat. Shut up.
Exactly. Exactly.
then sell it and then shut the fuck up.
I'm happy to do that.
And we're going
to
give you a whole bunch of business, buddy, because everybody's behind.
Yes.
But what about, who's financing these $15 million planes? Is that probably a guy's personal bank? I forget where I financed mine from. I think it was from my bank, I think.
Yeah, think of all the bigger banks out there, and that's who we were working with, and we still do work with most of them. We started out heavy with Wachovia before they got taken over by Wells.
Now, do you have to establish part of your business is probably establishing a relationship with a bank so that you can be their repo guy.
Absolutely. That's the toughest part, too, because there's other repo companies that are, they might have time in a relationship with them, so we're the new guy.
But having a reality show, that probably really opens some doors for you, doesn't it?
It does, and it also stings a little bit sometimes because they're like, well, you're going to show my airplane getting repoed on TV. It's like,
I don't do that shit anymore.
Well, even when I did it, nobody knew who I was working with, what banks were involved in it. So we protect the identity of the bank and the debtor.
Mm-hmm.
That's
would
my
you guys,
first thing.
Would you guys blur the tail number
yes,
sometimes?
Always.
Always, right.
Yeah. Now, if the plane, like there was one we had with the DOJ, there was an airplane that was seized. It had two dice on the tail. Okay, so, you know, that kind of airplane with two dice on the tail, everybody knew whose airplane it was, right? So if we repo that airplane on TV, we would substitute it with another one that didn't stand out because we were really cognizant of not releasing the identity of the debtor, the bank, any of that stuff. So
how much business do you do with the DOJ? Like, how much stuff are they seizing?
We got rid of that because they got to be brutal. At the beginning of the COVID, they got to be awful to deal with, so we got out of that. Because they had extended us.
Meaning to as far as paying you?
They wouldn't pay
us.
Or
you're dealing with the government and they're, like, when you say brutal, it's just like they're giving you take it or leave it type offers or what?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we had worked with them for, again, 5-year contract, right? And the people we worked with for the first 4 years were great. You know, we had a great kind of learning experience for both sides at the beginning and we were humming along. And during that time, business was booming. But then they brought a new group in and, yeah, they just kept trying to create trouble, and they thought they had all the power. So we're like, okay, fine, we're leaving. Good luck. And that was kind of how it ended. They just they wouldn't pay. They would send us out to see something. We'd be like, all right, we're ready to move it. Nope, you're not taking it now. Go home, and we're not going to pay for the trip.
Now, was it mostly like drug guys and or people behind on IRS or like was it just was it? Because, I mean, they obviously are in the credit business, so to speak, in the arm of the IRS. Or was it all drug seizures and things like that?
Yeah, it was.
When you were doing DOJ.
It was the DEA stuff. It was FBI stuff. It was a lot of criminal stuff and a lot of drug stuff.
So you're dealing with, like, when you're repoing, Johnny, guy that owns a small business in Philadelphia's plane, that's one thing. But when you're repoing Johnny, cartel guy... Yeah, that's a whole other height of awareness, isn't it?
It's whole different, and it
because those motherfuckers have guns,
and a lot of them, right? But the other thing is, once you take the plane, if I take Johnny Small Business Guy's plane, I've had a couple people try and take him back,
right,
but not many.
And a couple guys would be like, that Ken Gage guy, he's a real asshole,
Yeah.
But when you take Johnny Cartel guys, he's like, fuck, I'm not forgetting that motherfucker.
Right, and I'm not afraid to come to wherever you're keeping, whether it's Orlando, Houston,
yeah.
Hobby, Fort Lauderdale.
I'll come track your ass down.
Bingo. That's the difference, is the level of security you need for their assets, whether it's boats or airplanes, is completely different.
What was the sexiest, most expensive, coolest thing DOJ-wise that you ever repoed?
See, the coolest thing to me was the cargo ship. It was like a 1,000-foot cargo ship. To me, that was cool. But it wasn't sexy at all. But to know you have something that huge that's loaded with cargo and
was it drugs?
No, it was I think the stuff that was in it was legitimate. But the people running the company, not so much. But there was a lot of huge airplanes, and there was a bunch of 140, 150, 160 foot yachts worth.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? in the Coast Guard. We think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Tens of millions of dollars. They were the coolest things.
Now, when you repo a plane, and like, how do you keep it secure so that someone doesn't take it back? Like, what steps do you take?
So depending on the situation.
You put 23 out there with a shotgun, 23-year-old out there with a shotgun?
We've had security 24/7 on
Do you have like
before.
A big showroom? You know, Ken's repoed showroom?
Yeah, we have some guys in dress suits with over-cologned.
Yeah, be like, hey, let me tell you something. Looks like you're looking for a 49-foot yacht today there, Ron.
Come
I got
on,
one just
yeah.
right over here. We just got it fresh out of Stuart, Florida, man. We barely got it, but we got it here, and it's got your name all over it. I can send you right to the finance department. We get you all written up here, buddy.
There you go.
You put a club on the yoke, or what do you do?
Yeah, we
put a club on it.
So if we're worried about the security of it, obviously we put it in a hangar.
Yeah.
And we tuck it behind other things to kind of...
You make it hard to get to.
Real hard to get to, right? So, and we let, obviously, the airport know, hey, this one we got to worry about. So we've had security where we've hired security and put them there 24/7, and we'll hire the armed security just in case. So, you know, if it's bad enough, and the bank or whoever it is happy to pay the money.
Okay.
Because the assets we do that for are, like I said, the $20 million assets or the $15 million assets.
Now, how long do you have to store something for until you can sell it, usually?
It depends. The DOJ is much longer because it's got to go through courts.
Okay.
That's why you don't even like dealing with those guys anymore.
Yeah.
It's not as clean, right?
It's not as clean. No, we've held, there was one boat we had from the beginning of the contract in 2013 and was still with us in 2020.
Jeez.
So.
Thank God you didn't have to pay for that inventory. I mean, but you got to pay.
They're paying storage fees, though, right?
Right.
The whole
time. You're incurring costs, right?
Yeah, and we build them
every month. Yeah, you pass it along.
Yeah, but we never got to sell that.
Do they eventually sometimes, if you just can't sell it for whatever reason, where does it go?
I don't know. It never got to that point. They just say to keep holding it until the courts make a decision. With the DOJ, it's always the courts decide what the outcome of the.
But on,
the case
on a
is.
On a private like bank repo, what's like the average time for like a plane? Let's say.
So we have to wait depending on the state. There's a quote unquote a cure period
right.
where you have to give the debtor time to pay the
right.
note back. Once you get past that time, it's 10 days some states, 30 days in California. After that, it's usually for us, it's within 40 days we have it sold.
Okay.
Now do you usually get it sold pretty quick? And again, that's. Part of your business too is the selling deal, right?
It's the part I like the best, yes.
Now, and do you know, after you've exhausted what was owed on that, is that all for you? I mean, is that all gravy for you, or do you got to split it with the bank?
No, so the way it works, most of the time, the outstanding balance is more than what we sell for.
Really?
Yeah, the bank loses on repos consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's say you took it out.
They're just trying to get some of that money back.
Yes.
So let's say you took in a, you know, like for instance, a 414.
Okay.
And a guy owed, you know, $350 on it. But, you know, it's only worth three, you know, probably top dollar you get for it's $300. I guess that's not $350 that was owed to you, right? It's $350 that was owed to the bank.
Yep.
So they cut you off, you know, they probably have a standardized fee that they give you and gave you for getting it and then maybe a little bird dog for selling it.
Yeah. So the way we get a commission just like any yacht broker would get. Anyway, or an airplane broker would get. So, you know, standard is 10%. Bigger airplanes is smaller. Bigger boats is smaller percentage, but more money. So if it's 300,000, let's just say it's 10%. That's what we always told Discovery. Use the standard 10%.
Right.
Even if we get it or not, it doesn't matter for TV. It's fine.
Sure.
So on that, we would get $30,000 plus our expenses, and the bank gets whatever's left.
No wonder you're rolling. No wonder you're fucking straight rolling, buddy.
I'm not. I got four kids. I got one of them here. He wants to eat.
Yeah, it's true. You might want to invest in a vasectomy.
I already done. Thank you.
Perfect. Here, I'm watching a little bit. This is from the reality show that And this is called blackmailing a cheating husband to repossess a $1.9 million yacht. What's the story behind this one, Ken?
This is the one I think it is. It's one of my favorites, and the fans love it. Basically, this guy was cheating on his wife, and he had a bunch of young girls, had a little party.
Sound like a pimp to me.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't sharing. So these girls, all bikini clad and young and thin and on the boat, right? So I actually...
A boat that needs repoed?
It had to be repoed. It was docked, right? No big deal. We found it, but you know we're not just going to jump on the boat right away.
You just can't throw Rhonda with a big tits off the boat, right?
You can't, right? So,
I'm just telling you right now, Ken. We got permission to be here, okay?
Well,
so you fuck off, buddy. I don't care how much is owed on this boat. Me and my girlfriends are doing cocaine and staying on this boat all night long.
It's more or less. So I hired a girl from a bar. I got talking with her. Danny kind of coaxed me to do it. Danny's my partner on the show. And I offered her $300. And we've done this probably 10 times. Because guys are guys. So if an attractive girl comes up and says, oh my gosh, I love your boat. It's so whatever. And
I want to blow you.
With him, right.
And then he's like, oh my God,
guess
let's go.
What? Debtor gets right off the boat.
And you are a repo guy. You use all angles,
shady tactics.
My friends.
That thing works. That one tactic works every single time. So we hired this girl.
She's hot. She goes to the owner.
Yep.
I heard she had a boat.
He's on the boat. We want him off the boat so we can take it. She flirts with him. She gets him to the bar. I'm like, here we go.
Are there other girls on the boat?
Yes. So
you got to get that.
Yeah. So we, and they show this in the episode. We go up to the deck and we're like, this boat's repoed. We're going. You got to get off. I'm like, no, we're not getting off. Fine. You're going with us then. And then that freaked them out worse than getting off the boat. So they hustled off the boat. Just as we're ready to take off, the debtor sees what's going on and comes back. And then, like, we're telling him, like, you know, this is what's going down. And we're like, you know, we kind of build it up for him, but we knew what he was doing. Then we see the wife coming, and she's bitching a fit. And I'm like, this is perfect.
And she didn't know about the three little freaks that are on the boat,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So
now he's got not only I'm behind on payment issues, but he's got mad wife syndrome too.
Yeah, and that's worse than the payments, right?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of toys hanging around. There's girls' underwear here and there, and they're
now. Is it on this episode?
Yeah. Now we didn't show the toys. I don't think.
Let me see here.
I'm gonna try and board this boat. Doesn't look like anybody's on it, so I've got to.
What's that, Lummy?
Does he still work with Danny?
Yeah.
You still work with Danny?
Yep.
Not liking what he sees.
Oh, that. By the way, that's a badass boat, Ken. That's a nice boat, isn't it? Is that in Florida?
Yeah, it was on the East Coast. I forget exactly where.
Oh, and there's chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had a boat like that, I'd have chicks just, you know, staffed up on there.
I mean,
but I'd be honest with if I had a wife, I'd be like, listen, you know, we got a boat and it attracts hot bitches, so let me have my boat.
Let me have it. And you see how we blur out the name of the boat?
Oh, yes.
So that's something we're careful.
Looks like he was in Boca Raton.
Let me see here. I'm going to fast forward to the high spot. This is Ken.
There's the girl.
That you hired, right?
Yeah.
Off the boat. Hi there. How are you? My name's Ken.
Ken explains that they're
Danny looks pretty thick, like he could kick some ass.
Attempting to repo a yacht being held illegal.
Don't be starting no shit with him, Ken. He'll whip your ass. I'm telling you right now.
Believe me, I don't.
By a sleazy debtor.
I need an attractive lady like yourself to...
300? You must be one hell of a negotiator. No bitch would ever go for that. Well, 300.
She's not doing anything.
It's 10 minutes of work.
Yeah.
Off a boat so we can go repo it.
He assures her she'll be compensated.
And all I have to do is talk to him?
No head, no nothing.
Come and bring him here.
How long do I have to keep him here for?
Honestly, probably 10, 15 minutes.
Enough for us to throttle this bitch up,
She's
throw
like,
the horse
on. I can do that.
All right.
Easy money, right?
I can do that.
Deal?
Deal.
Ken always trying to push it like a Philadelphia guy.
Now Ken and Danny have an accomplice. They watch from their boat as she makes a casual approach to the...
Now where'd you get this boat at, Ken? This burner boat. Where'd you get that at?
We had a friend, I think.
Debtor's yacht.
I wasn't sure if we
ran up a conversation.
So that's the guy, right?
Yeah, that's
right there. That's him.
Look, I think... Is he yelling?
He even looks like a douchebag.
Yeah. Oh, Nanther?
She got his attention.
He seems like he's into her. She's got him talking, but the key is, can she get him back to the bar?
Maybe he's inviting her up, but they're definitely talking, man.
Yeah, now that would have really fucked your story up if he would have said, "Nah, fuck the bar. I got everything we need up here."
Right.
Then we would have had to get on the boat and confront
him. Right now, this girl's flirting abilities are the only thing we've got to get this guy off the yacht. He's coming at the bottom. Dude.
She's got game.
Did we call the right one?
I can't believe this one, bro.
Now, is Danny a Philly guy, too?
He's from Charlotte, North Carolina.
So funny.
That is my little toy.
It's a lovely
was.
Little toy.
This is it.
This is where Danny and motherfucking Ken roll up in here and give the bitches the good news.
Captain to meet them on the yacht.
Dude, let's
see now. You and Danny can't drive this shit. You had to have a captain, right?
I always hire people because it's just cheaper and safer for us.
See, I would just gas the motherfucker up and just try to deal with it.
I'm
hitting a pylon and the remote ain't more shit.
The first boat we repoed in Tampa, the captain we had did. He ran it up six different pylons. I'm like, screw this. I'm never doing this myself. Hire people.
Now, Ken and Danny have to board the boat.
By the way, Ken, pretty nice hotties on there, huh?
Yeah, and Danny suggested we keep them on.
I would have.
Of course, off and their captain on, and take the yacht out to sea.
You got four kids. Remember that, Ken.
I always
did. Before the debtor returns.
You almost had seven kids.
You almost had seven kids, Ken, with a divorce kicker.
So hey, I sent Danny first.
Sir, I fucked around with a few of these chicks, and now I'm in as much trouble as you are, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. We're both going to stay here in the bar.
Less the boat.
Yeah.
We got it, dude. Yes. Get him to this.
How bad was this boat? Was it nice?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Party much around here?
Look at the goodies.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey there.
Ken and Danny rushed the debtor's lady friends off the boat with enough authority to avoid any drama.
Get packing, get moving.
Party's over with. Is this your stuff?
Let's go. Come on.
Here you go, ladies.
Otherwise, you go.
Oh, my God. This big guy with muscles is throwing us off the boat.
Thank you.
Us, and that won't be
pleasant. You meant Danny.
Party's over with today. Thank you.
Meanwhile, you guys are trying to get them the fuck out of there because you don't want this, Telly Savalas-looking motherfucker to come back here,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So as soon as we clear these girls off the yacht, the captain's here.
I would have already had the motor on.
Captain, what's up, brother? Perfect. Let's go.
Let's just get her started up and see what we can do.
Now, those girls are going to go find the guy. Like, what's wrong with your boat?
Be like, hey, these two fucking assholes kicked us off. Said they were over the bank.
One's from Philly, too.
One's from Philly. The other one's jacked the fuck up.
Yeah.
Come on. We got to
hear about this nerd guy on with four stripes. I think he bought the shirt at fucking Walmart. I'm like, no.
Spencer's.
Knows he's on borrowed time.
Ken, have you ever got a guy? And he's like, listen, I don't even know how to start this fucking thing.
No, but the first one I told you about, the crash. The boat into the pilings. His tow guy was a drunk old bastard, so he had no idea.
He might have bought his four stripes at Target.
Exactly.
Since the first thing the debtor's party girls will do is alert him to the repo.
Right.
I don't want this debtor coming back, so now Danny and I have to move fast. Captain, come on, you gotta
get this fucking thing going, buddy. Come on, Jesus, God, gas it up.
Oh, forgot.
As soon as he cranks,
it calls the debtor.
The engines. You could see the debtor, and he's charging
us
now.
He's a big guy.
He's a pretty big dude, Ken.
He is.
Send Danny out there.
This is exactly what Ken wanted to avoid. Now he's going to have to rely on his human seawall, Danny Thompson.
That's right. Ken ain't doing shit.
Looks like Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, looks like Goldberg.
Shit.
Who the hell are you guys? What are you doing on my boat?
Listen to him, bro. My name's Ken Cage, and this boat's been repossessed.
And this is my buddy Danny, and he can bench press a fucking Buick. Yeah, so exactly. Leave us alone.
He's got a 1985 camera.
I just talked to the bank.
He's got a 1985 fucking camera. Looks like a real tourist with chops.
This is gonna be paid 6 months. For right now, my boat called into the police. It's a done deal. It's done. You need to move off the boat, though. This guy knows that as soon as he leaves the yacht, we're taking it. So he concocts some story about stolen property.
Okay. You took my Rolex, really?
You know what? He looks like a Dr. Phil on growth.
Yeah,
does he not?
Yeah, he does.
Some story
it's
about
Goldberg's
stolen
brother.
Property.
He's Goldberg had sex with Dr. Phil and then on growth hormone. Right here, look.
You took my...
Doesn't he look like Dr. Phil?
He Rolex, does. Really?
On growth?
Yeah.
You're stealing stuff out of here? I check one thing. Where's the Rolex?
Really? You're going to give us grief about a watch? So this guy is going to accuse us...
Oh, he's trying to say, Ken, you got sticky fingers because you're from Philly. I know how you are.
Yep.
Us of stealing a Phantom watch, which was never on the boat, of course.
Oh, shit. And Mama looks like a straight Bulgarian too, does she not? No wonder you were hanging out with the hot bitches because
watch,
Mama,
never on
I'd be cheating on this bitch too. Look at all
this. Like a pterodactyl.
You want the party to come to a screeching halt? Yeah. Fucking throw this in right here. Holy shit. Danny, that bitch has got bigger traps than you. Holy shit. Fuck.
Pterodactyls.
It's funny. The guy wasn't afraid of Danny. He's afraid of her.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
She'll stretch him.
Come on.
Look at that fucking, look at that Dutch boy haircut. Yeah. What are you? Olivia Newton-John, let's get physical. What the fuck? Get the hell out of here, bitch.
Who's that?
I'm like, I'll make you a deal. We'll waive your debt if you get your wife off my ass.
No, who's that? What's that?
It's WhatsApp. What? Yeah. Who let the pterodactyl on the fucking boat? I thought we had bird wire.
Frank, are you in there?
No, Frank's not in here. If I was Frank, I'd be like, hey, you two repo fucks, tell her I'm gone,
look,
okay?
Just watch take what her he with does. Me.
Just drown me.
Watch what he does.
Hey, guys, let me fucking ride out to half the channel so I can jump in and kill myself, okay?
The debtor goes white as a sheet. It's his wife.
Let's see if those fit her, man.
Wow. Yeah, real.
Hey, I bet she'll like his
she'll
picture
like
right here.
You got pictures of him with the girls? Want to make a deal?
You just got to develop a film first.
We'll keep our mouth shut. We'll hide all this stuff. She won't know a damn thing.
We'll take care of all this.
Just give us the boat.
Forced to choose between the yacht and his wife.
I'd be like, I want those young bitches.
You take her.
Yeah.
The debtor figures.
The debt goes, I'll tell you what, motherfuckers. You guys can have the boat, but let me throw her on with it. I'll jump off last minute, and motherfucker, we ain't got no problems.
Put her in a build.
The yacht costs less to replace.
We're nothing to worry about compared to that wife. That wife is furious.
And ugly as hell. Ken, you wanted to say that, did you not?
Wow.
That wife is a fucking beast.
I wouldn't want to be dealing with her right now. He better focus on that and work with us.
She had bigger traps than Danny.
Deal with the bank.
Cover for me on this one for now?
Got you. We got you.
And I'll get off the boat.
We got you.
I want to know who these people are. Like,
they're associates.
Like
I just had a deal with
don't,
them. Let's go talk
about
it. I want
to know what's going on.
I'm not interested.
Danny knew he was dealing with a stiff Bulgarian.
Everything's fine. We're good. Let's go talk about it. We'll go get a drink, do lunch. Let's go.
You can go lift weights, do superset on shoulders.
There you go. Magic trick. Here's a pair of panties and another one. What have I got up my sleeve?
Boy, his ass is in trouble.
Oh,
man,
God.
I'm going to watch her slap him.
Well, you know what time it is.
It's time to take this big boy out to sea.
Captain, you ready?
Ready to go.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Let's get these babies going. Fire up,
how do I start this thing?
Now, Ken, do you guys get a party on it a little bit? I mean, when you guys, I mean, by the way, did you have to take it all the way back to Jersey? Or I mean,
no. No, we took it. We left in Florida. And to your first question, if there happened to be a beer or two on there that are cold, they might not be there at the end of the trip.
All right, let's say this, Ken. You fly into Tampa on a Thursday. You do surveillance and shit on a guy's boat. You figured you could maybe take it on Friday. You get it. And, you know, you guys get a little dock slip somewhere over there, and you guys could spend it. Can you spend a couple days on it? Or, I mean, you know.
No, not really.
Really?
Not really. No.
You should tell the bank, hey, listen, you know, I'll give it's X amount of dollars to repo this, but if you let me have it for the weekend, I was going to have the kids, all 15 of my kids and two wives down here.
I'm up to 15 now?
Yeah. All right.
Damn it. Uh-huh.
You got a couple of those trippers pregnant. You know, you never know.
Yeah. It didn't happen, honey.
So what are you doing nowadays, Ken? What brings you to Tampa? A repo?
Yeah, I was here to get a boat, and then, like I said, as we're on our way, we're almost at the marina, bank calls and says he paid.
How big of a boat was it?
It was a 55-footer.
Okay. Ooh.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. I think they had it valued at like 400 and some thousand. So it was decent.
So when you do that, you say you broker them, will you just keep it in Florida? Locked up or something like that? Like, you can't get it back north, can you?
No, I don't want to either. The boats,
no, God, I can only imagine how expensive it. I mean, how do you even get there?
Right. I've had boats brought, especially in the winter, from like Virginia down to Florida, and it's a $10,000, $15,000 trip.
For not only fuel, but the guy that you got to pay to do that, right?
Exactly. And I always send, you know, a crew along with the captain, so, you know, keep the problem.
You can't
limited.
Send one dude
no.
in case he goes overboard or some bullshit.
Exactly.
But you got to send three or four?
Yeah, we usually, I mean, we leave it up to the captain. Most of the time, they just are satisfied with their one to be a crew. So it's, you know, he can be a maintenance guy, a crew guy, depending on what he needs. But the captains decide. Just like with the pilots. So pilots make all choices on flying. I never pressure them. If they say can't fly, can't fly. If they say they need two guys, they need two guys.
Don't get mad at me, Ken. It says you're worth $10
million. That's what it says.
That's awesome. Just fucking around and taking people's shit. That's cool as hell, Ken Gate.
Yeah, they didn't take into account David,
the four kids.
David and the kids.
Now, are you still married to the kids as well, Mama?
Yeah, tomorrow's our 32nd anniversary.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Congratulations. Now, is she cool?
She's unbelievably cool.
You know, they say behind every good man is a good woman.
A better woman.
And but my grandpa had a caveat to that. Behind every failed man is a bitch.
I love that. He was spot on.
My grandpa told me one time, Grandpa Fred, he goes, you know, Bubba, behind every good man's a good woman. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard that before, Grandpa. And he goes, yeah, but what you haven't heard is behind every failed man is a bitch. I was like, yeah, I never really heard that angle, but mm-hmm. I think it applies. I really do.
It seems to.
So, Ken, where can people get, like, do you just, are you just doing, like, the Facebook, you know, social media shit? Or, like, what are you doing now? What are you doing besides repoing? Or are you just repoing, living the dream?
We're repoing. I've got another thing during COVID. We got introduced to this UVC light that kills COVID, and it disinfects everything, and it's the most powerful of its kind. So, we're trying to grow that business a little bit, too.
Now, where's that at? Where can I find that at?
That's Platinum Group, Inc., PlatinumGRPINC.com is the website, and we're based out of Boca. I'm trying to talk my wife into moving to Florida.
Platinum Group what?
Inc., INC.
All right.
And I'm trying to talk her into moving to Florida. So if I put all the businesses down here, I think I'm set. I sent two of my kids down here out
just
of Florida.
Just the taxes alone. There's no state taxes down here, bud.
And Delaware's the same way, but Delaware's not Florida. I mean—
No, I got news for you. Plus, that's where Joe Biden's from. I mean, and, hold on, let me see. Here.
Exactly.
Let me see the little pitch deal here, okay? Hold on.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Bubba Army, let's look at this is what Ken, not only will he repo your boat, but he'll sell you one of these fucking lights, too.
The virus prevention team here uses the Platinum Group 1500-watt UVC light to disinfect a yacht. You see the technician cleaning wood cabinets and a countertop. Look as the light meter shows the power of the 1500-watt unit from a distance. The light...
Like, now, are you selling these to schools and things like that?
Yes, schools, businesses. We've got a much smaller unit now. We've been talking to airlines and companies like that, cannabis companies. They need something to help with their crops because they get three or four different molds of mildews that can destroy the entire crops.
Really?
And we just got this, our light tested at Findlay University in Ohio. And they said, yep.
The cannabis business is huge, too.
Yeah, right now we're hearing that it's flooded a little bit, which is what happened to us during the repo business in, 9 and 10. The brokers mm-hmm. all thought, oh, yeah, we can repo, too. And then they tried to do it. It's like, 2 months later, like, yeah, we can't do this.
Yeah.
So it's flooded a little bit.
You mean the market with regards with to cannabis. COVID?
How many people are growing and stuff?
With cannabis, everybody's, because, we all hear about it, then... Everybody thinks, well, I can day traders.
A lot
remember
of money
that in the 90s, everybody could be a day trader, make $1 million a day.
Yep.
So, there's a lot of people in it. They're going to phase out soon, but their crops are worth so much money. And if we can help them avoid some of the loss of crops that they have, and then we can take it to other crops and other sanitizing type businesses. There's an apple washing company up in the Midwest, Michigan, Ohio area.
Granny Smith.
Yeah, something like that. And they're looking at us and like, can you do what the water does? And it's like, yeah, better than that. And you don't have to use chemicals. And like, so they're looking at it. So
you basically they can sterilize or wash their apples with your light more so than with water. And the cost on that's probably huge, right?
Yeah. And we can disinfect better and not use chemicals.
Boy, I bring one of those disinfectant light here to the BRN. I can only imagine how filthy this place is.
Oof, love yours.
I got one in the great. Car.
Is it going to show all the
It's
all
not
the,
one
all
of those
remnants?
Lights. No, it's not. It's not
a black light.
The black light on the couches.
I was getting a little scared here.
No, we won't ever dine out regular, like that.
Yeah.
Cleaning the high touch points that are most vulnerable to diseases and germs.
So literally you just take this light and just, go over everything you want to disinfect?
Yep.
How long does it have to be on the area? Because it looks like this guy's just wanting it around a little bit.
It's at the power we have it at, it can be done in a second, but we suggest like 3 to 5 seconds over each area. Just go slow.
This light is easy to use and small enough to clean all areas and safe for all surfaces.
Here, and since then, you've made them smaller.
Yeah, the one now that we have, the newest one, is like 4 pounds.
Effects a glass top.
Now, where can people go, to maybe, buy or to look, or maybe there's some other people that listening to the show right now that would maybe be interested in something like this.
Yeah, they should go to the website, platinumgrpinc.com, because all the contact information is right there.
Can the public buy them, or are you only selling to like institutions and things like that?
Oh, we'll sell them one at a time. That's
best of all. The light is safe.
That's your repo guy coming out. We'll fucking sell them one
exactly.
at a time, buddy. I don't give a fuck.
Notice that
I'll sell a school 100 of them, or I'll sell Johnny PQ a public one of them. I don't care.
How many kids do I have now?
Exactly. 14.
18. To have evacuated, and all items could remain on board. Think of the time and cost savings. The light.
Yeah, you would think the airline industry.
They do.
Would have something like this.
Yeah, they have such a great return system in their airlines that they're not as concerned. But they tested some of the other ones that were weak. We've talked to some of them. We'll see. We focused on the charter yacht business. This was like a 130-foot yacht.
Right.
Because they were having to cancel $250,000 a week trips because of COVID.
Right, and it's impossible to wipe it all down and spray and wipe, or you can just wing it with one of these lights, right?
So what they would do is they would clear the boat for 2 days. You know,
but that's like a 2 day that the boat's being down. Right.
You don't have to clear the boat at all with the light. You just keep people out of the room just as, you know, a safety precaution. So the light doesn't, you know, spend too much time in their eyes. But you can keep somebody in the galley when you're in the living room. No problem.
Well, the light could stay with the boat so that the captains and the crew guys are always cleaning areas, you know, after they've been used, right?
Yep, that's exactly
it. It is safe to use on all surfaces. It is even safe to use on electronics throughout the yacht. The light is powerful enough to eradicate the COVID-19 virus from 20 inches away in 1 second. You see the tech...
What if I put it on my penis? I mean, like, would it disinfect my penis?
If you'll buy one, I'll tell you it'll grow.
Mission disinfecting all surface.
Gives me an extra inch.
You get a hell of a tan.
Now, listen, Ken, I know that you're worth $10 million, but you want to be worth $100 million. Offer a light that disinfects and grows your penis, and you'll be having a John Travolta 747 soon.
Pfizer will be calling me.
Exactly.
Electronics.
Not only do you disinfect your penis, but it gives you 3/4 to an inch of hardness and thickness.
Wood, plastic.
And Pfizer would send a hitman's what they would do.
Yeah, Pfizer would be like, man, we gotta kill this guy and get this technology immediately.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy.
Exactly.
Look how easy it is for the technician to use the light, even in tight spaces. That is because the light is 8 inches by 8 inches by 12 inches and weighs only 13 pounds.
And you've since made this smaller, right, Kenny?
Significantly smaller. Yeah, it's like, that was 1,500 watts. We're down to like 600 watts because we just kept shrinking it. But it's just a smaller range, but it does the same exact job.
Is it the Hurricane 2?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
I think that's like 4x6 or something.
That computer would be destroyed. With just a quick sweep, all of the viruses, germs,
So, Ken, you're going to be able to retire from the repo deal, or are you always going to keep that going?
I like repoing. So I'll keep that going, and I got my lock picker over there. Hopefully he'll learn how to be a pilot soon. He'll do some flying, and it'll be a family business.
Hopefully he's picking, you know, legal locks, because, you know, being a lock picker, you could get into some areas you're not supposed to be.
He hasn't, as far as I know, he hasn't done that yet. But I have noticed the pick sets missing time and again, so I don't know what that's about.
Now, and what's your son's name? Danny?
David.
David, is there any lock that you can't, like, can you pick the average lock?
The average lock, yes. But like there's a lot that I can't pick.
Well, like, for instance, tell me the ones you can't pick, because that's the kind I need to buy.
Like a disc lock?
Probably. The ones that are on, like, a normal house door, usually I can pick them within 5-10 minutes. Super quick with it.
How about a safe?
Depends on the safe. If it has, like, a normal master lock, I can usually pick them, too.
Really?
Oh.
Is it just all about going in there and just, you know, messing around with the tumblers and things like that? I mean, I know I'm kind of simplifying it a little bit, but...
Yeah, so if you have the right set and you have a rake or something, you can sort of just play with it, and with enough time, anyone can figure it out, but...
Or you can get bolt cutters you know, cut it off.
That's the universal lock picker.
That's the white trash lock picker is a set of bolt cutters.
I love those. The ones that are tough are the Medico locks on the airplanes, because they are, quote-unquote, unpickable.
Can David roll up in there and pick that thing?
Well, you know what? He can do better than he's telling you he can do, but if he practiced it, you know, for a week or so, he'd get really good at it.
Now, can you make a living picking locks?
It's just a part of our job, so I wouldn't hire somebody to pick a lock for us.
You just get David up in the joint.
Yeah.
David, how long have you been doing this?
I think I learned probably 6 years ago.
From Pops or from?
From YouTube, actually.
From the lockpicking lawyer.
From
something
YouTube.
Like that, yeah.
From YouTube.
Oh, man.
You can learn anything on YouTube.
God, I know. It almost should be like illegal, all the things you can learn from YouTube. You can really learn to be a real badass in YouTube. Well, listen, Ken, I didn't know how this interview was going to go because I didn't know how cool you were. But I didn't know how much, you know, you could really talk. But, man, I got to think, I really enjoyed having you in here today.
I loved it. I've known you and followed you for so long, and it's been
Now, listen, great. You've been in a lot of radio studios. Have you ever seen anything like this?
The gate itself at the front is freaking awesome. It's awesome. But this studio is amazing. Yeah. I've never seen it, like, with the red tint and...
Well, if you look behind you, when we were on Tim Sabian's, you know, platform, we used to have girls on that stage doing all kinds of sort of things.
Stripper pole.
And then we had a shower that now has all of our
storage.
We use it for storage and all of our band equipment, but we'd have girls in there putting them on the glass in the shower right there.
And then you heard how I impregnate strippers and
on the boats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna call your wife.
Get rid of everything.
I'll call your wife and tell her you got 7 additional children.
Jesus, every time it's more.
Yeah. Hope she looks better than that one guy's wife.
Oh my, sure my wife does. Honestly is a beautiful Italian woman.
Way more beautiful than you.
Way more beautiful.
So she could get rid of your stupid ass at any time and get that guy that owns that boat that's not gonna get fucking repoed by you.
And that's why I need to keep working.
You do. That's why you need to sling this light right here.
Yes, exactly.
Well, listen, Ken, I wanted to thank you and your son for swinging on by. And so, again, where can people just maybe your Facebook or, like, you know, what are we slinging here? Where are we pushing people to get into the Ken world?
I'm at Twitter. I'm at Instagram, Facebook, at Ken Cage Repo. Honestly, you know, the fans, the last episode of Airplane Repo that was an original episode was 2015.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And every time we post something, like I posted a couple of posts on Monday about the repo we were working on. And we had over 50,000 people interact.
Yeah, why don't you do it yourself?
So that's what I'm talking to Tim about, is how we can go forward. Mike Kennedy, who's on the show, and people love him. He's out of Orlando. Mm-hmm. He's got the animals. He's working with us now. So now it's me, Danny, and Mike. And it's, you know, people are excited. They want TV. They want more episodes. So we're working with Tim.
Well, it's a fascinating, you know, it's a fascinating topic, repoing. You know, because you don't know what's going to happen, and you're getting into sexy, cool stuff that most people wish they could own, and quite frankly, they're happy that somebody's taking their shit away. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, when I look at a guy, I don't have a plane anymore, and I see a guy that got his plane, I wouldn't mind his plane getting fucking repoed.
Exactly.
I can't have a plane anymore.
And you know what's funny is the way you say that, it's like the Robin Hood effect, right? I grew up on Robin Hood Lane. How freaking weird is that?
Nice. You did.
I did. How many Robin Hood Lanes are there? And I grew up on one.
I'm looking at this plane. I think you guys just took this. What?
That's a 414 there.
I know it is. With tail tanks.
Yeah. You like that, don't you?
Tip tanks.
With tip tanks, yeah. Not tail tanks. Tip tanks. Had the RAM conversion, too?
Yeah.
Thing's beautiful.
That was nice.
And some guy got it taken away.
That's what you used to have right there?
Yeah.
Oh.
For like a regular, you know, a piston prop, like that's a great plane.
It is.
You can fit 7 on there or 8 if you take the potty out. I took the potty.
And they're not ridiculously expensive.
No, they're not.
I mean, they're not cheap, but they're not.
My annual was $25,000 a year.
Oof.
I'm trying to find a picture of mine. My plane. Blitz, do you have a picture of my plane?
Oh, yeah, hold on, I'll send it to you.
I had Bubba Army on the tail. I'm trying to see. I'm looking at Ken's Facebook here. Yeah, Ken, you should just with the advent of social media, YouTube, Facebook, you should just keep repoing and tape. You don't need that whole over-the-top Discovery crew, all that overthinking. I mean, on an average shoot of Airplane Repo, how many people would be 10, 15 on an average shoot?
Yeah, so there was – remember, they had 3 different teams. The people that started doing the show with us were all from Deadliest Catch. So they used that format, which was to me.
Here's my plane right there.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Except they took the Bubba Army. I had the Bubba Army on the.
Did you really?
Yeah, Bubba Army right there on the tail on the right there.
That's awesome.
Huge Bubba Army. There's my Blitz. That's a fairly recent picture. Some local guy bought it.
2019. Yeah, 2018.
That's a great.
God, I love that
great
plane.
Airplane.
And I never. I hope your son's not offended by this. I mean, he's an adult. I never, even though I was married, I never got in the Mile High Club. I was too busy flying the motherfucker.
Yeah.
I never, ever got in it.
What's wrong with you?
I know. It's the first thing I wanted to do when I got a plane was fuck in it, and I never fucked in it. And I had it for 7 years.
You better buy a new plane then, just for that alone.
No, you know what? If it fucks, flies, or floats, it's cheaper to rent it.
That's a really, is that Grandpa, too, that taught you that?
Yeah, that comes from a good friend named Gary Grubbs. He had, you know, but if it fucks, flies, or floats, it's cheaper to rent it.
Makes sense.
You never heard that before.
Huh? I never heard that.
But you're going to use it.
I'm going to use it all the time.
You're going to use both of my things today.
Every single thing. I'm taking notes. Are you kidding me?
Motherfucker. Oh, Ken, listen, it is so good to hang out with you. And thank you to Tim Sabian for the connection. Yes. And keep us posted on, you know, if you start doing more stuff and you're distributing your repo stuff through various means and your light stuff and all of that.
I appreciate it. I definitely will.
Keep us posted.
I definitely will. Thank you so much for your time. I wanted to do this for a long time, so it's
hey, listen, anytime you're repoing some shit in Tampa and you got a little bit of a heads up, now that you're, you know, family, just call us up, and now you know how to get here. You can just swing on in, and we'll bullshit a little bit.
Beautiful. I love it.
I mean, how often do you have a lot of people in Tampa are not very financially responsible. They're always getting their shit taken.
Yeah, and they have a lot of boats and airplanes on this side.
True.
So that makes it a lot easier.
I bet you probably make 2, 3, 4 trips a year to Tampa.
I used to make one every 3 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah, we were here all the time. And it'll be back. I think first quarter of next year, you'll start to see things blow up.
People buying some shit. Yeah. No, hold on. People bought shit, and now they can't afford shit.
Right, because they haven't been paying, and the banks haven't been charging
Usually them. Kenny rolls up when shit's going south, not when everybody's got their PPP checks.
Yeah, I'll put my arm around him and say, hey, congratulations. I'll see you in a little bit.
Oh.
What if one guy said, hey, listen, Ken, yeah, I know you're taking my shit, my big boat here, but I want to blast my wife one more time in the stateroom. Would you? I mean, listen, here's the keys to the motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do, Ken, if he was super cool to you?
I mean,
come on, buddy.
Guys got to be guys, right? We got to be bros at some point.
Yeah.
There you go. Be like, listen, can I get 30 minutes with my wife with a real nice, you know?
We have, not to that, for that, but we have given people, you know, an hour or two to
grieve over their
off and
yeah,
stuff
what if
like
a
that.
Guy goes, hey, man, I got a bunch, my wife's got her dildos in here and everything.
That happened.
And, you know, I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, listen, I'm not going to accuse you of stealing a Rolly, but I need to get some of my shit out of here.
Yeah,
buddy.
We let him.
Yeah, you almost got to let him if he's being cool.
Yeah, because we have to return their personal property anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if it's not attached to the boat or the airplane.
David's got a ticket to the fucking UPS store otherwise.
Exactly.
So we might as well let him take it off now.
Yeah, make David's job easier.
Kenny, good seeing you, my friend.
You too.
And Blitz, it'd be a good time for us to just, you know, end the show because Lemmy's got one here in 12 minutes.
Woo.
Lemmy, we can wash the cream machine tomorrow. Okay.
All right,
buddy.
Yes, sir.
Kenny, we're going to say goodbye to everybody. And don't forget to go to Ken. You can go to Ken's Facebook. You got a YouTube channel, Ken?
I do, but I don't know what it is right
Ken,
now. I haven't used it in a while.
That's what you should be concentrating on.
Well, tell Tim Sabian.
He's on Twitter a lot.
But Ken, there's money in YouTube if you know how to do it, buddy.
And that's it. I don't know how to do it. So that's where Tim's working with me. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you'll see us.
All right. Listen, everybody, thanks for listening to the show. And Ken, thank you. Your son as well. I look forward to seeing you again sometime.
Me too. Thank you so much.
It's Ken Cage from Airplane Repo on his YouTube.
Yeah, Ken Cage, Airplane Repo. And Ken Cage on Twitter. Are you on Instagram, Ken?
Yeah, Ken Cage.
You don't know. You fucking Ken doesn't fucking know. Ken doesn't fucking know.
It's either
shit.
Ken Cage Repo or Ken Cage Airplane Repo.
It's something like that.
I think it's
Ken
Cage's
got a fucking COVID lied. He's got all kinds of shit, but he doesn't really know any of it at the end of the day. Ken, nice talking to you, my friend.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.